James chapter 2, verse 8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. The caste system in India was outlawed by the Indian government several years ago. Regardless of the fact that it has been outlawed, the caste system is still practiced by the people. The caste system is a way of dividing up the population of India into four, maybe five main groups. The priest and the nobles at the top, and then at the bottom of this order of people are what are called the pariahs or untouchables. That is similar to what we see in a chicken yard if you've ever watched chickens eat. They have what is called a pecking order, where the chief chicken eats first, and then the second chief, and so on down the line, but nobody eats until the number one chicken eats. Now, we in America, in spite of the fact that we live in a democracy where supposedly we have equal rights, actually treat each other in a caste system, and even within the church, we have our own little order, our own little pecking order that by which we deal with people. We may call it apple polishing, or we may call it giving somebody strokes or giving somebody the VIP treatment, but regardless it exists, even though it's organized in India, it still exists in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And that is what James is addressing himself to, because he shows us in James chapter 2, verse 8, that the royal law of Scripture, I like that phrase, the royal law of Scripture, is that you love your neighbor as yourself, which means that you and I should not show partiality, should not show respect of persons, should not show favoritism in the way we treat each other. Don't treat others with partiality. That's what James says in verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Now that does not mean that we should condemn the rich simply because they're rich. I know he says in verse 6, if you let your eye fall there, do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts. He is talking about the non-Christians who were rich, who were persecuting the Christians at that time, and yet the Christians in the church were honoring and respecting these people. But partiality doesn't mean that we should condemn the wealthy simply because they have money, nor, on the other hand, should we dishonor the poor simply because they're poor. What does partiality mean? James illustrates his meaning in the next couple of verses. In verses 2 and 3, if there should come, he says, if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one bearing
wearing the fine clothes and say to him, "You sit here on the front pew. We have a special place for you." And say to the poor man, "You stand back there under the balcony or in the balcony. We have a special place for you too." Then we are, James says, you are showing partiality or respect of persons. He says that we show respect of persons or we show respect of persons when we form our opinions, our judgment about a person by the clothes that he or she wears, or by how much money they have, or the position that they hold in the church or in society, and we're awed and we respect that person and we show that person extraordinary favor because of their circumstance or because of their finances or because of their position. That isn't to say that we shouldn't stand when the President of the United States comes into the room. We should. But to show respect of persons means that I show favoritism to a person, ignoring his character and his conduct. For if the President of the United States is a crook, then he should be treated as a crook. You see, James says we should treat others according to their inward quality, their inward character, not by their position. Several years ago, in fact, in the days when some of us in our pre-Christian days and in our teen pre-Christian days, there was a popular guitarist and singer named Bo Diddley. Some of you probably know about Bo Diddley. I think he was a favorite of Ron Harrington's. He had a song, Bo Diddley did, and it went something like this: "You can't judge a man by looking at his brother. You can't judge a woman by looking at her mother. You can't judge a book by looking at the cover." All right? That is a rock version of what James is saying in James 2, 1 through 13. To show and evaluate a person and make a judgment about another person based upon what you see there on the surface is to judge the person by the exterior, the external of their lives, and it is to show then partiality. The word partiality, look over in verse 9. The word partiality is comprised of actually two picture words. It says, if you show partiality, and then my little footnote for that says, receive the face, literally. Partiality means, on the one hand, it means face. But on the other hand, it means to show. So that what it means is to show partiality is to accept what you see on face value, as if what you see is the person. If we show partiality to a person because of his position or of his bearing and his station in life, we deny what Jesus Christ himself taught when he said that a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Your life cannot be defined by what you wear, or what you drive in, or what you live in. But your life can only be defined by what comes out of here, because that is you. That is James' point. If you accept a person, and if you have the attitude and perspective of the world has of accepting people on the basis of what you see, and you go along with that kind of attitude and value, your values have turned upside down, and you are fitting right in to what the world says is their values. And you've denied Christ. You have denied the very faith. You have become the victim, Christian, in denying the very thing that you say you believe. When you show partiality, you see, partiality is accepting the outward for the inner reality. It's like saying or thinking that Marilyn Monroe is a together person because she was a sex symbol. Or that John Trump is a satisfied person because he owns a quarter of Manhattan. First Samuel 16:7 says, God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Don't treat others with partiality, with favoritism. For the royal law of Scripture is to love your neighbor. And that means to go through all the mask that your neighbor is going to wear, and that you're going to look at the person for who and for what he is. And that's the way you treat them. On that basis, not on the basis of his position or his wealth or whatever. But what's wrong with treating others with favoritism? Don't we do it all the time? What's wrong with showing respect of persons? Now, respect of persons doesn't mean not respecting persons. Respect of persons means partiality, means favoritism, means accepting the surface, the mask, for the inner reality, and then showing that person a special VIP treatment because of what they have or because of their position. It is anathema in the Church of Jesus Christ if that is what goes on. Why is it wrong? James tells us the first reason it's wrong is because it is so unlike Christ. Look at verse 1. He says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Showing partiality, respect of persons, is wrong because it is unlike Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ do? Here is the Lord of glory. Here is the one who had the universe in the palm of his hand. Here is the one who controls everything in all of the world, who didn't need anything. And yet this one, in his glory, left that glory and became a man to live as a person. Because you and I had sinned, and he took your place, and he lived for you, and then he took your sins upon the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He is the Lord from glory. This is not just one of us, as it were. It is God who is suffering death upon the cross of Calvary for you and for me. That is what he did for us. He is the Lord from glory. And if he should leave his glory, and if he should treat all of us the same, equal treatment under the gospel,
without respect of our position, intelligence, money, circumstances, whatever, if he should treat us the same, then how should we treat each other?
We have a doctrine, a biblical doctrine, and we call it unconditional election. By unconditional election, we mean that God in eternity past unconditionally elected those who were to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Mind you, unconditional means that his election was not predicated or based upon his looking forward and seeing what a good guy he is or what a fine person she's going to be, but it was not conditioned on anything. It was simply because of God's own unconditional. He did not give us preferential treatment. He treated us equally. And so because Jesus Christ did it, then you and I are to treat each other equally. Whether we have positions, whether we have money, whether we have influence, whether we know how to pronounce, enounce, enunciate, and pronunciate the King's English, we are to treat one another equally as believers.
Christ taught about not judging people by appearance. Not only by his incarnation, his becoming a man and leaving his glory and treating us all the same, but you remember he talked about a widow. He was watching people take money to the treasury in the temple, and people would come up and drop their money in to the offering plates. And then he saw a widow come, and she dropped in what is called a widow's mite, maybe a penny, a half a penny. And then Jesus told his disciples, "Were you impressed with how much money some of these people were giving?" And then he said, "I want to tell you, that widow has given more than anybody else because she gave out of her lack. They gave out of their abundance." So you see, be careful when you judge people by what you see, because our judgment is colored by just the surface and what is presented to us. The goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus Christ. We cannot have true faith, and that's my point, if we treat others with partiality. How can we treat others or not treat others with partiality in the church? I tried to come up with some good examples, and I hope that you'll think of some. I thought about one that's very, very practical. And it's this, and that is, on Sunday morning or on Sunday night, who do you talk to? If you talk to anybody, maybe you think you're the significant person. Most of us go and we find people who matter to us. And those are the people we talk to. The significant people and the significant sick. When we fix meals for people who are sick in the church, do we fix meals for everybody? Do we treat everybody the same, or do we fix them for the significant sick? I'm just saying, think about it. And when you come on Sunday morning and you look around, do you have a certain circle that you always gravitate to because those are the people who are the significant people in your life? Now,
Having said that, next Sunday morning, just because somebody different comes up and starts talking to you, it doesn't mean that you are an insignificant person. I said, what's wrong with treating others with favoritism? The first thing, it's wrong because it's unlike Christ. The second reason is that James gives, it's wrong because it ignores the character and conduct of the person that you're showing partiality to. That is in verses 6 and 7. You ignore what a person really is in themselves if you treat them with special favoritism when they're snakes in the grass and you know it. And you're just shining up to them because maybe they have a position or maybe they can help you. But on any other ground, on any other circumstances, you know that you wouldn't spend the time and the effort that you're spending in apple polishing. You deny your faith. I think Nathan the prophet showed us how not to show respect of persons when another person needs a ministry from us. And that is when David committed his sin with Bathsheba and he killed Uriah the Hittite in the process, and he waited a year and he didn't do anything. And then Nathan the prophet came to David, David the king, who could have had this prophet's head cut off for what he was about to do. Nathan came up to David and with his finger in his face, he said, "Thou art the man, you're the sinner." Whoa. That's treating people according to their character. David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a powerful man, and he had all the riches in the kingdom that he wanted to have. And this poor prophet said, "You are the sinner, and you're the one who needs to repent." I don't mean to imply that we need to run around telling everybody, finding something wrong in their lives, but I think you know what I mean. Then the third thing and the last thing is that it is wrong, that is, showing respect of persons is wrong. And I said wrong, but if you look at verse 9, it says, "But if you show partiality, you commit sin." It's not just wrong, it's sin. It's not just wrong to apple polish and to shine up to people when you know that their character doesn't deserve it. It's not just wrong, it's sin, because it denies the very Lord that you're standing for. And you need to be a man and a woman of principle, and a man and a woman of character, a man and a woman of integrity. It's wrong because it violates the fundamental principle of the Christian life. What is that fundamental principle? Look at verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law of Scripture, the fundamental principle of the Christian life is called the royal law of Scripture. And that royal law is that you shall love your neighbor. The reason that it's sin is that we need to treat everybody equally under the gospel. If we violate this one principle, James says we violated the whole law. The royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you treat another just on the basis of what you see and hear rather than their character and their conduct, you're not loving that person. And James says in verse 13, when he concludes this section, you're not showing them mercy either. Mercy doesn't just accept the superficial stuff. Mercy will cut through the mask. And it will love the person and minister to the person that's there. Don't be a respecter of persons. What about you? Have you been a respecter of persons? I guess all of us have. But maybe it's time to repent. It's time to realize what Jesus was saying about the widow's mite and not judge people on the basis of
the clothes they wear, whether or not they're a movie star, an entertainer, a football hero, or whatever, but that you look at the character and the conduct of a person, and that is the basis upon which they're treated. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the practical instruction from the book of James that you have. We confess, Lord, that we often have been impressed with the wrong values. We confess we get it a lot from watching television, sometimes music, and many different other areas in life. And we just confess to you that we often treat other people on the basis of their surface, superficial presentation to us and not on the basis of their character. Forgive us. And help us to be men and women and teenagers and children of integrity and of principle. And help us to fulfill this royal law toward one another in church first and then in the world. That is to love one another and to not treat others with partiality. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand for the benediction. And now may grace, mercy, and peace